It is so very good to see everybody here this morning. As I'm scanning the audience, I see a few people that are visiting with us. You are indeed our most welcome and honored guest. Whenever you're back here in the Searcy area again, it is our hope and our desire that you'll come back and worship God together with us again. And if you desire and are willing to study the Word of God with us. We have a special guest here this morning. The first time, actually, it's not the first time she's been here. She's actually been here for about 9 months. It's the first time she's outside. It sure is good to see Rebecca here already. My sermon this morning, I am speaking to you not just as your minister. I'm speaking to you now as one of your shepherds. You'll notice from the title of the sermon, it is dealing with pressing toward our goals as the Church of Christ at Airport Loop. And so this morning, I'm speaking primarily, specifically, to those of you that are members of this local congregation. Those of you that are visiting, we're glad you're here. But the sermon is for those specifically that are members of this congregation. What I would like to try to speak to you about this morning is what Gary and I, as the elders of this congregation, have already talked about, prayed about, meditated on, talked with the deacons about already, to try to explain exactly what it is we perceive and understand our goals as a local congregation to be. And not only what the goals are, but hopefully our plans on achieving those goals. That being said, over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, here the Apostle Peter, speaking through the Holy Spirit, says, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly." Here, speaking to shepherds, shepherds everywhere in every congregation around the world. The elders, the shepherds of a flock of God, are only shepherding the flock of God that is among them. In other words, Gary and I, as the shepherds of this congregation, we're not responsible for Ball Knob. We're not responsible for the other congregations here in Searcy. We're not responsible for the congregations in Beebe. We're only responsible for this congregation. We're to be shepherding the flock of God that is among us. And when we see that term shepherd, you need to understand that that particular metaphor and word is being used to help us come to understand exactly what is entailed and involved in our work as shepherds. Over in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, here is speaking about that work as a shepherd. He says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." Here in this particular verse, we learn one of the main responsibilities that shepherds of a local congregation have for the flock of God that is among them. And that is, we are watching out for your souls. The first and the most important goal that we have as shepherds over this congregation is that every single member of this congregation makes it to heaven. Make no mistake about it. That is the primary goal, is being with God in heaven. Going over the text here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, he says, "What do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray? Does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying?" Gary and I are going to have to give account to the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, in the day of judgment. We're going to have to give account to God Almighty in the day of judgment about how well we did our particular responsibility and our work as shepherds over this congregation. You need to realize that what presses upon any man anywhere who is a shepherd in a congregation, what presses down on him the most is worrying about the souls of the flock of God that is among him. Because he understands his primary responsibility is to watch out for their souls and to try to help them make it to heaven. And yet in every congregation I have ever been a part of, and this was no exception to the rule, in every congregation I've ever been a part of, there are members in those congregations that leave the Lord. There are members in those congregations that are struggling. Make no mistake about it. There will probably be members of this congregation, this local church, who will leave God while Gary and I are overseers of it. There will be, and there already are, members of this congregation that are struggling spiritually. Now, then, there's something I want you to understand. Gary and I have the responsibility of helping every one of you making it to heaven. Please, let us help you. Please, let us in. Let us into your lives where you really are. We can sense just from the lack of attendance of some members that you are struggling greatly. There are some members of this congregation that when they come, they're more like visitors because we see them so rarely. If that is describing you and you are here this morning, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just trying to explain to you, you're in great danger. If you have the idea that you haven't got to serve the Lord by worshiping and coming together with the saints, then you don't understand the responsibilities of Christians. And if you think you can just come every now and then and make it to heaven, you're wrong. That's not the way it's going to work. You are expected to come together on the Lord's day to worship our God together with the members of this congregation if you are a member of this congregation. You cannot be hit and miss, hit and miss, hit and miss, or miss, hit. And think you're going to make it to heaven. Maybe you're hoping the Lord's going to come in the middle of services. You need to understand, if you're miss, and then I'll come every now and then, you're not going to make it. Is that clear? You're not going to make it. Because you're not serious. You're not serious about your relationship with your God and your service to Him and your being a member of this congregation. Gary and I will go after every stray sheep. And you need to know this. If the words come out of my mouth, I'll die trying to do it. We will go after every stray sheep. We will do the very best we can to try to help those who are leaving to not leave, but to come back to the flock of God. We will do everything we can to strengthen those that are struggling. There are, and there always will be, struggling brethren. Gary and I are here for you. For you. We will come into your home. We will work with you one-on-one. We will do everything we can to help solidify and strengthen your relationship with your God and your knowledge of His will and your faith and love and hope in your God. We will do everything we can to help you make it to heaven. That is the primary goal. But we cannot do it if you keep us locked out of your life. Sometimes there are people, I feel like when they're talking to me, they're saying, "Hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. I'll let you in this far, but no further. I'm not going to let you know where I really am. I'm not going to talk to you about my struggles. I'm not going to talk to you about my struggles with my sin. I'm not going to let you help me. I'm not going to even talk to you about where I really am. If you don't let us in, we cannot help you." It's no more complex than that. If you don't let us in, we can't help you. If you don't know this, you probably already figured this out. When I love you intensely. When you come into my heart, you never leave. And I will do everything I can for you. I do not just say that. I mean it. Gary and I will do everything we can. We will be patient with you. And if we have to, we'll carry you to help you make it to heaven. This next verse, the one that was read for us, Revelation 3 and 2, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God." Strengthen the things that remain. You know, in a flock of sheep, whenever the flock is moving, those that are up in the center of the flock are the most protected. They're the safest. Because invariably, the wolf or some kind of animal is going to attack the flock. Make no mistake about it. Satan's going to attack this congregation. Satan's going to attack every single individual sheep in this congregation. If you desire to be the safest sheep in the flock, you need to be up amongst the sheep in the core of it. If you are out on the peripheral of the flock, that is on the outside of it, you are in great danger. Because whenever the wolf comes, he's going to pick out the sheep that are on the peripheral of the flock first. In other words, if your attendance is hit and miss, and you're not really involved in the congregation, and you don't really know the congregation, you don't even know their names, and we don't really know you because you're really just coming enough for us not to withdraw from you, basically. You're on the periphery, and you're in great danger. Those of you that I'm describing that way right now, that if you sense you're on the peripheral, on the outside, and not up in the core, listen to me. Come on up in the core. Come on up amongst your fellow sheep. Come on up in the center. Surround yourself with your brethren. Come in and get to know us. We're not perfect. We know that. We will get on your nerves sometime. We know that. But we are your brethren. We have the same faith. We have the same Lord. We have the same goal. The same understanding, the same values. We need each other. Do not be the solitary soldier on the outside fighting your battles by yourself. Do not be the sheep on the peripheral. Because if you're out there by yourself and you're alone, you're in great danger. And the enemy can pick you off very easily. Gary and I have the responsibilities of strengthening what is here. Our goal and our desire is to take every single member of this congregation, every one of you. Those of you that are in the core, we want you stronger. Those of you that are on the outside, we want you coming in and we want you stronger. It is our goal to strengthen your faith, to strengthen your relationship with God and your relationship with your own brethren by bringing you up into the core of the flock. Now, Philippians chapter 3, he says in chapter 3, 12 through 14, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold for that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All right. We haven't reached the goal yet. If you're here this morning, guess what? You're alive. And as long as you're alive, you haven't reached the goal yet. Paul continues and he says, I do not count myself to have apprehended. We haven't attained it. We haven't apprehended it yet. We're not there yet. Now, some of you are not going to live as long as others are. Some of you will finish the race ahead of others. The first sheep that crossed the finish line while I was a shepherd of this congregation was Cletus Brown. He finished the race. And by the way, it was a great honor to be there with him, encouraging him, praying with him as he finished the race. Our goal is that every single one of you attain eternal life in heaven with God. We want you to finish the race, your race, in Christ. And anything we can do to help you when you're struggling, to help you when you're hurting, to help you when you're alone, to help you when you have Satan hitting you right and left, anything we can do to help you stand and finish your race, we will do it. We are here for you. We are your servants. We will build our lives around you and your needs so that you can finish the race. Getting down to verse 14, he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We want you to press on. Don't throw up your hands and quit because things get difficult in your life. There are going to be difficult times. There are going to be times when you suffer. There are going to be times when you're lonely, when you're hurting, when you're giving into temptation even. Do not throw up your hands and quit. Press on. Press on all the way to the very close of your life and your race to where you ultimately do attain the goal. I'm telling you, what my joy will be, what Gary's joy will be, is when we've all finished a race, look around and see you there. That's what it's all about. I want to be in the presence of God Almighty, in the presence of Jesus Christ, and I want to be able to look around and see every one of you. That's the goal. We're not there yet. We all got more race to run. And we need each other to finish this race. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Notice how this text begins. Take heed to yourself. That's the same phrase, Gary, that you find over in Acts 20. Whenever Paul is speaking to the elders in Ephesus, the very first thing he says to them as elders is, take heed to yourself. You know what that means? That means Gary and I, we need to watch ourselves. I want all of you to make it to heaven. Folks, I don't want to go to hell. I better make sure I am on the way and I am on the road and I'm living it. I got to watch out for me first and then also at the same time watch out for you. And we need to continue in the doctrine. Gary and I are going to be teaching you about God's will from God's word. And we need to continue in that doctrine. We need to be living it, practicing it, examples of it. Because he says, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those that hear you. And that's what we want, isn't it? Gary and I want to make it, but we want to see you there. We want you to make it. When Jesus was talking to the apostles there on the Sea of Galilee, before he ascended after his resurrection, you remember when after Peter had denied him three times? There by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus asked Peter the same question three times. Do you love me more than these? When Peter said, yes, I love you. You know what Jesus' response to Peter was? Feed my sheep. And then when he asked him the second time, do you love me, Peter, more than these? When Peter said, yes, he said, tend my sheep. And then when he asked him the third time, Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter was uncomfortable because he figured it out. You know, I denied him three times. He's asking me the same question. Do you love me three times? And do you mean it? When Peter said the third time, yes, you know I love you, you know all things. Jesus said, feed my sheep. As shepherds, Gary and I will do everything we can to feed you a balanced diet of the Word of God. We have spent much of our life studying the Word of God, and now it's time for us to take what we know and teach others. And as shepherds, we have been given the responsibility of feeding the flock of God or shepherding the flock of God that is among us. And we will do everything we can to give you a good knowledge, a good grounding in what the Scriptures teach about what is God's will. And at the same time, trying to strengthen your faith in God, trying to strengthen your faith in Christ, trying to strengthen your hope for heaven, trying to strengthen your love for God in Christ. So you in turn, by faith, can keep the commandments that you have learned from His Word. Because we love our Lord and we love God, we will do everything we can in our possible abilities to feed His sheep. That's our first goal. And that's our primary goal, is for everybody here to make it to heaven. But then we have a second goal. Over in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, in speaking to the congregation in Thessalonica, he says, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Here, This is talking about how this congregation in Thessalonica, a newly planted congregation, by the way, how the word of the Lord was sounding forth from them. And it was going out of the city of Thessalonica and being taught in Macedonia and Achaia. And if you don't know that, that's a whole region, basically what we call Greece today. Northern and southern Greece. Macedonia in the north, Achaia in the south. And so they were sounding forth the word of God in this entire part of the country. Guess what, folks? They didn't have radio. They didn't have television. They didn't have computers. They didn't have internet. How'd they do it? They went by foot and they spoke by mouth. Person to person to person to person. Not only do we want you coming up in the center of the flock here, we want all of you getting involved in the work. Now, listen real close to me. The other day when we were talking to the deacons, one of the first things we try to explain to them is that we don't want members falling through the cracks. We want to be conscious and sensitive to the needs of all the members of this congregation. And that we have deacons who are going to be working among this congregation, not just in taking care of physical things, but also dealing with people. Just because you're not a deacon doesn't mean you're not a servant. You hearing what I'm saying? Just because you're not an elder and you're not a deacon doesn't mean you're not a servant. You still got work to do even if you're not a deacon. We want all of you involved into the work of this congregation, working together that we as a congregation may have the word of God sounding forth from us. Yes, we're going to be talking about technology here in a little while, but you need to understand all the technology in the world is not going to get it done if you as people don't do it. The primary work has got to be people to people, person to person. You talking with the people around you about Christ crucified. You talking to your family members, the people you work, the people you go to school with, the people you know, your neighbors, talking with them about Christ crucified. Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass." Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. We want our goal to have the word of God sounding forth from this congregation to come to pass. We want our goal to have the word of God sounding forth from the Church of Christ at Airport Loop. We want it to be established. For it to come to pass, for it to be established, first of all, we have to commit it all to God and it is to His glory. Understand this, the work of the church is not about me, it's about God. I am just a servant of God. We are all servants of God to do the will of God and commit our work to the Lord. It's not about me, it's about Him. And us having the honor of being servants in His kingdom. And God expects us to take this work of the sowing of the seed, of the planting and the watering with the word, of letting the word of God sound forth from us. He expects us to do it together, not just the evangelists, the ministers, the elders, and the deacons. And He expects us to commit it to the Lord, to His honor, to His glory. But look at this verse here in Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. I want to go back to that. One of the things Gary and I have been talking about as elders and getting the word of God sounding forth from this congregation is the use of all the technology that is in the world today. We are living in an amazing time. You can get on the internet and listen to a preacher in China, or you can have people in China get on the internet and listen to the preacher here in America. We intend on trying to purchase equipment to get quality recordings of all the lessons that are being taught here. And not only being audibly recorded, but also we're planning on getting cameras, video, three cameras, one on both sides and one in the center, so that we can start videoing all the sermons that are taught here. And if you haven't been going on the internet, some of you may have noticed if you went on the internet and tried to get in touch with a website, it wasn't there for a while. We've got a new website. And with this new website, we're hoping to make it a better website to where we can make the information that's being taught here easily accessible, and here's the goal, to anybody in the world that can come in contact with a computer or the internet. The ultimate goal is to have people anywhere in the world can come here on the Lord's Day and live feed the worship services here. That's the ultimate goal. I'm going to tell you, folks, when I was preaching in Texas, one of the greatest honors I got was emails from China and India, from brethren on the other side of the world thanking me for sermons. And they wanted to know if they had my permission to use my sermon outlines. Duh. Yes, please! We have freedom, and we have technology. Let's use our freedom, let's use our technology that we have today to get the Word of God out to the world as loudly and as easily accessible as we can. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm not a technology guy. Some of you are. Ugh. Some of you know computers. Yay. Some of you understand how to do websites. Wonderful. Some of you are very good at mechanics. I'm not one. The men that have been in my Wednesday night Bible class, especially this past Wednesday night, we try to emphasize that men don't know how to do everything. As a matter of fact, one of the quotes I often use from Mark Twain is, everybody's a genius in one thing and an ignoramus in a million. And what that means is, in your life, you'll do really good if you learn one skill in one area really well. But then there's the rest of the world out there, which you know very little about. This is where it's going to be imperative that we all work together. Using whatever skill that is you do have to the glory of God. If you're good at computers, commit it to the Lord. If you know how to use the internet, commit it to the Lord. If you know how to do anything that can help us do the work here, commit it to the Lord. And do it to His honor and His glory. Use your abilities. And understand this is one of the main works of the church, is getting the seed out of the barn and carrying the gospel to the people. The text says you need counselors. Gary and I don't know everything. We need your wisdom. We need your input. We need your advice. We need your counseling. Help us to be able to accomplish the goal of getting the word out. And now Isaiah 6:8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go forth for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. What a wonderful attitude. Here the question is asked, okay, who will do the work? And rather than saying, there is he, send him. No, the answer is, here am I. Send me, I'll do it. That's the attitude Gary and I are hoping every member of this congregation will have about the work. Here am I. Send me. I'll do the best I can with whatever it is I can do. Please, if you're a member of this congregation, get involved. Get involved into the work together with us. Hebrews says in 5 and 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And I've come to need milk and not solid food. And then again in 2 Timothy 2 and 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Hebrews talks about there's a time you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again. Gary and I are teachers. Gary and I will do everything we can to teach you, to help you grow in your knowledge of the Word of God. And for those men who hopefully one day will be teachers in the flock of God, in congregations that they are members of, Gary and I will do everything we can to take your knowledge that's already there to a higher level. I am here to build my life around you and your needs. I will come to your home. I will fit my schedule around your schedule. I will do everything I can to teach you what is in my mind about God's word. The Lord gives me that responsibility as an evangelist to take faithful men and to teach them so they in turn can teach others. We want this congregation sound and strong doctrinally to where it knows what is the will of God and then has the faith and the hope and the love to carry out the commands of God in our lives collectively and individually. And then the last point, the benevolent work of the church. In Acts 11, 28 through 30, then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. And the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So here is this great famine taking place during the times of Claudius Caesar. And the church down here, or actually up here in Antioch, they are hearing about the difficulties happening among the brethren in Judea. And so what they do is they put together a contribution from the congregation and the brethren in the Antioch area, and they send it, notice this, to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. One of the responsibilities elders have is overseeing the use of the finances, and a major part of that financial work has to do with benevolence and the needs of those that are in need among the body of Christ. Look at this over in Romans 15 and 26. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints which are in Jerusalem. The Lord speaking about poor individuals says in John 12 and 8, for the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. All I wanted to get from these two verses is, first of all, there's always poor people. You men, you probably have this male mentality that I have, and that is I want to conquer something. I want to get it done and have it done. That's not the way benevolence works, though. You need to understand that when you help somebody, just because you helped them doesn't mean you have not got to help them again. I'll give you an example of this. A few weeks ago, you may not be aware of this, but we were told about a potential famine over in the Philippine Islands. We were contacted by one of the brethren that we support, Brother Nino. And he was telling us about how their crops failed and how they were not going to be able to survive. And so, you may not really be aware of this, but this congregation sent finances to the brethren in the Philippine Islands to help them to be able to survive during this difficult time. Well, does that mean we're through? Does that mean there's no more poor people? Does that mean there's no more poor brethren? You need to understand, the poor are always going to be here. The point I'm trying to make is this. The work of the kingdom is never completely done. Because there's always going to be brethren that haven't finished the race yet. They need to press on toward the goal. There's always going to be people that need to be fed the word of God and watered with the word of God. There's always going to be people that are going to be struggling spiritually among the body of Christ around the world. We could take everything we've got right now, brethren, sell it all and give it all to the poor, and guess what? They're going to be poor next week. And so this is going to take wisdom of having balance with finances, of being able to help those who we can help with what we've got. But realize this is not going to be a situation that you just do one time and you never have to do it anymore. In this regard, 1 Timothy 5:16 says, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them. And do not let the church be burdened that it may relieve those who are really widows. Now, I want you to look at this verse very closely with me, if you will. The verse begins by talking to believing men and women who are, as we're dealing with Christians here, a man or a woman who is a Christian. If you've got a mother who is now her husband, that is your father, or your stepfather. In other words, she's alone now. Your husband, your stepfather, excuse me, I'll get it right. Your father or your stepfather has died. Now your mom's alone. If you are a believing man or woman, it's your responsibility to take care of your mom. My father died 10 years before my mother did. She was our responsibility. She was my mother. And we were going to take care of my mother till she died. The scriptures say here, again, 1 Timothy 5, if a man will not take care of his own, he's denied the faith and he's worse than an unbeliever. Your mother is your mother. You take care of your mom. Your father is your father. You take care of your family. Your children are your children. You take care of your family. But you notice here, if you go further, he talks about those that are widows indeed. He says, let the church be charged that it may relieve those that are widows indeed. There was a lady down in Texas who was situation with no children, no husband, nobody. We took care of her, and we took care of her, and we took care of her, and we took care of her. Until she took care of herself. The reason I know that is because I was given the job of helping her get on her feet. This verse does not mean that we're supposed to adopt people, anybody that wants us to take care of them. Because sometimes there are folks that will abuse the benevolence of the church. But we need to be conscious and aware. The benevolence of the church is one of the major works of the church. And that when we see brethren that are in need, we don't need to close our heart to them. And when we see brethren that are starving, the worst thing we could do is pass by on the other side when we're throwing food away. One of the things we're going to try to impress upon you is to become conscious of the fact that we are wealthy Americans. We will not try to ever make you ashamed of your wealth, but just conscious of it. And if you ever leave this country and live in another country outside of America, you'll become very conscious of how wealthy we actually are. And even the poor people in our country are considered wealthy in other countries. I'm not trying to make you guilty. I'm just trying to help you be conscious. So you in turn can understand that God expects us to use our blessings when our cup overflows to share it with others who are less fortunate than we are. And so yes, benevolence is going to be a major work of this congregation. Because that's the will of the Lord. He wants us to be willing to share with those that are in need. Those are the three main points I wanted to make this morning. First goal. I want, and Gary wants, every person who's a member of this congregation to make it to heaven. We understand for that to take place that there are people that we really don't know that well. But quite frank, I've only been here 7 or 8 months. Some of you, I may still need, you know, I may not be getting your name right sometime. If I do that, please forgive me. But I still don't know many of you very well at all. I may know your name, but that does not mean I know you. I want to know you. I want to become your friend, your brother. I want to get in the trenches beside you and help you. That is what Gary and I are here for, is to help you make it to heaven. That's the number one goal. The number two goal is to get the word of God sounding forth from this congregation, with all of us doing the best we can with what abilities we do have, to the glory of God, committing our work to the Lord, and trying to get the word of God out. I have total confidence and the power of the gospel of the word of God. Total confidence in Christ crucified. It will accomplish exactly what God wants it to accomplish. But we have to get the word out. We have to get the seed out of the barn. That's going to involve all of us. Every one of us involved in the work together. And then finally and last but not least, there are going to be times and circumstances where we will see people in great tragedies. Famines are going to be around the world at different times. Even here in America, there are going to be brethren who are going to be in need. Every now and then, you can even come across widows that are widows indeed that may need help and help and help and more help. Okay. Just because you help one time doesn't mean it's all over. Now you can walk away. That's just part of being a Christian, is giving our alms to those in the world around us. Those are our goals. With God's help and all of us working together, I pray we will attain all these goals. I appreciate your kind attention. There may be somebody here this morning, though, who is not a member of the one body yet. If you believe that Jesus actually is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're not a Christian yet, if you're willing to openly confess that faith, and then motivated by your faith, repent of your sins and follow after the teachings of Jesus Christ, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God already and you realize there's sin between yourself and your God that you have not dealt with, our God is gracious. He's merciful. He's willing to forgive us. Take your sin to your God, turn from it, and we will pray for you. And as your family and brothers and sisters in Christ, we'll pray with you and do the best we can to encourage you. You're not alone. We are a family here. We really will do the best we can to help you. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the psalm that's been selected.